Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a good God.
Amen.
Merciful. Amen. All the time. Yes, amen.
Yes, that's right.
He's good even in other parts of the world. You know that? Even though there's chaos and confusion all over, God is good. And that's the, you know, it's good to travel. You see that very thing, that you see God's hand move on your own life, but you see God's hand moving on other people's lives in different countries. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to witness God moving in different areas. You also see the other side where most of the world does not know God, not living for God. And you see prophecy fulfilling itself before our eyes that the world is falling away from God. I don't know if you heard about Bill C-9 that just was passed in the House of Commons. You know that they want to take out some of the things of the Bible that we're not allowed to say anymore. Praise God. I say praise God. Because it's not going to change us. We're just going to continue to preach what the Bible says, no matter how hard it is or how unpopular it is. That's what we're called to do. Preach the Word of God. In season, out of season. So if it's out of season, praise God. We're going to preach the Word no matter what.
That's right.
I hope you have that attitude. No fear. There's no fear with Jesus. I know where I'm going. You know where you're going, right?
Yep.
Though he arrest me, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I'm very happy about that. I'm very excited when I see prophecy, scripture being fulfilled before our eyes. You know, people get all freaked out. Oh, we need to pray and we need to do all this stuff for Bill C-9. You know what? Read your Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2, it's going to get ugly. Lawlessness will rule the earth. God said that would happen. People are going to fall away. There's going to be crazy people rise up in power. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be all kinds of crazy stuff on planet Earth.
Yeah. Means his clothes.
Earthquakes and floods, and you see it all over the place. You see injustice all over. Praise God.
Yeah.
God is on the throne. We know where we're going. This is not our home.
That's right.
Amen. We're on our way out of here. We're just passing through. So I hope we have that attitude. No fear. If you're afraid of what's happening, you need to get beside a lit-up Christian who's on fire for Jesus. Because we're to keep our eyes on him, not on the world, right?
That's right.
Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we totally and utterly place ourselves in your hands. We can do nothing about this world. You have it all in control. You've said what's going to happen in your word. It will come to pass, not one jot or tittle will be unfulfilled.
That's right.
You said that, Lord. Everything in your word written will be accomplished. So we trust you, we hang on to you, we stay close to you. We open your word and we see, Lord, how we should live in these days. And I pray, God, by your spirit that you would save those who need saving, that you would encourage those who need encouraging, that you would teach those who need teaching. Exhort and admonish and let the word of God do what it's supposed to do here today. Father, just to set us aright for the coming of our Lord and Savior. God, we give you praise for your word. We thank you that it is life to the soul and breath in our lungs. And Father, I pray just today that as we hear your word, our desire for Christ, to live for you, to serve you more, would be accomplished.
Yes.
Lord, fulfilled. It's about you, Lord. It's not about us. And so help us see that today.
Yes.
For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're good to go. So lots of sick people. My mom is sick. My wife is sick. Other people are having a hard time, but praise God. God is faithful. Welcome. All the way from Ecuador.
Woo-hoo.
Sebastian just got in from Spain two nights ago.
Nice.
Yeah, 2 nights ago.
2 nights ago. Welcome. All right. 60, almost 2 year old. Let's get the glasses on. Let's read the Word of God. I put everything up here for you. This is three part series on the Spirit filled life. Let me just tell you. Next week is Easter. We need to be together. Amen? We need to be together. We need to celebrate the Lord's resurrection together as the body of Christ. And so next week we'll be meeting here. Men's Bible study will be on the Saturday because Ashley wanted to stay on those weeks, so we're going to honor Ashley, even though he forgets because he's almost 62. We're going to meet next Saturday as men. I hear the Thursday night Bible study is going great. People are getting transformed and chaos is breaking out in homes because people are choosing Jesus over the enemy. So praise God. God is moving. All right. So I've titled this sermon, The Mindset of the Follower of Jesus. And I want to thank Wendy for preaching while I was away. She kind of did a whole bunch of stuff. And she said, as she kind of did a surface view of those verses, that I would probably go deeper. And that's exactly what I want to do. There's so much in here. I just can't let it go. So I'm going to root this. Okay, here's the goal of the Christian life, in case you don't know yet. Okay, it's not the prosperity gospel. It's not to get everything you want and Jesus to fix everything and heal everything. That's not the gospel. Okay, the gospel is we are being transformed into his image. We are a holy people being made holy by Christ. It starts at the cross, and he's continually working on us by the power of the Holy Spirit so that one day we will stand with him in glory. Okay, all the suffering and all the trials we endure on planet Earth now are to bring us to glory. Okay, without trials and suffering, there's no glory. And if you doubt that, you need to spend time at the cross. For the glory set before him, he endured the cross. It's the same with us. Okay, because of the suffering that we go through for Christ and just living life. Life is tough. Okay, we're going to get to heaven because of our faith in Christ. Okay, and it's a journey. It's not an easy journey. I met some missionaries while I was in Cozumel. Not an easy journey. Losing a son, serious sickness, cancer, all that stuff. It seems the moment you want to really, really, really lay it all down and serve the Lord, guess what happens? Trials and tribulations. Okay. Anyway, I want to start with Titus chapter 2 and 3. I'm just going to read this, starting in verse 11. If I could sum up my whole sermon, it would be this. Maybe I should just read it and sit down and we can all go on our way. But this is the Christian life and grace. Titus 2:11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Grace teaches us to turn away from the world and all its traps and follow Jesus, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A follower of Christ who has given their life to Christ turns from the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. I'm going forward and I'm looking for the return of Christ. That's how I live as a follower of Jesus, okay? I'm looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of this God and Savior that I have been serving now for 27 years, and some of you 50 and 50 plus. And friends, that is the goal of life, Jesus, seeing him face to face, okay? Why? He gave himself for me, that he might redeem us, me, from every lawless deed. See, he redeemed us from every lawless deed and purified for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I could preach on this, but I want you to really see what it says. He took you out of the world to turn from that and to live for works that he prepared in advance for us to do. That's why we exist, for his glory, to do what he wants us to do, okay? Paul says, verse 15 of Titus 2, speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. This is what we're supposed to preach as pastors. We're supposed to encourage you to turn from your sin, turn from the world, and follow Jesus with all your heart. That's what a follower of Jesus does. He follows Jesus, not the world, okay? Christian doesn't mean much anymore. Like I said many times, there's all kinds of streams of Christianity that have nothing to do with Jesus. That's not us. We are followers of Jesus. If you keep reading, chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, people in charge of this world, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. We are humble people because of the sacrifice of Christ. We realize our sin and what we needed to be set free from sin, and because of that, we are humble, and we share with others the great work of Christ. We ourselves were once foolish. We were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Man. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's not because of us that he saved us, it's because of him. He chose us, his grace, and poured out on us, even his faith. This gave us faith to believe in him. It's all him. How did he do this? Through the washing of regeneration. That's being born again by the Spirit of God. He washed our hearts. He gave us a new heart by the Holy Spirit of God. He has renewed and changed us, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay? Holy Spirit, if you are born again, if you're a child of God, the Spirit of God has been poured on you, lavished on you. Okay? That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified, no longer guilty, no longer under condemnation. You are free from the consequences of your sin by faith in Jesus Christ. This is what we've been studying now for 8 chapters in Romans. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. There it is again. Here's what I want you to preach, people. This is what you preach to someone who's a new believer who needs to know what it means to follow Jesus. You preach, go to this section, chapter 2 of Titus and chapter 3. Just go there and spend time with them and teach them. If you really want to make a disciple who's hungry for Jesus, that's where you go. Because Paul says, teach these things. It's faithful saying. Affirm them. These things are good and profitable to all people. Okay? Avoid foolish arguments. So that's the introduction. Here it is. This is why I'm preaching. This is why it's important to live a Spirit-filled life. Because if you don't live a Spirit-filled life, you demonstrate the Son of God has not changed you, not in you, has not transformed you, and you are not on your way to heaven. You're still living for yourself, okay? This whole sermon today is about what it looks like to really be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? Just going to lay the scripture out before you. So here we go. I'm going to read Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. Those who are according to the flesh, the things of the flesh do mind. I'm using the literal translation, Young's literal translation today, because I want you to see as much as possible what the Greek says, because this is huge, okay? Those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I put the Greek up there for you, because I want you to see it literally says, though for those according to flesh live by the flesh to the mind. To do mind. According to their mindset. That's what that word means. Phroneo is in the middle. It's in the middle. You have the flesh on one side, and you have the mind in the middle, and the spirit on the other side. And so as I was just praying and meditating, I thought, okay, get this picture in your minds. We're on a teeter-totter, okay? On one side is the flesh. On the other side is the spirit. What causes the teeter-totter to swivel? It's the mind, whatever you believe, okay? That's what it's held on. As a man thinketh, so is he, okay? So, if you think to the flesh, let me go to... Galatians 5, real quick, I have it right here. I'm just going to share. You know, you don't have to ask yourself, what does the flesh look like? Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God wrote what it means to live by the flesh. Are you ready? The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so if your life is characterized by sexual immorality, hatred, jealousy, anger, division, contention, always arguing with people, always having to be right, by pride, by drunkenness, all that stuff tips the teeter-totter on the flesh side. And that means you're not living in the Spirit. Okay? Now, if you're living in the Spirit, the teeter-totter goes this way. And it's the mind that controls what side you're going on. Now listen, just picture in your mind, have you ever been on teeter-totter or seesaw, whatever you call it? If it's weighed down on one side, the other side is off the ground. It has no control.
Right?
It's all weight on this side. If you're living in the flesh, the spirit is useless sitting up there. Okay? If you're living by the spirit, which is this, you know this, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you're living like that, the flesh is useless. It's sitting way up here because all those things have been transferred to the spirit. And so our job as Christians is to not let the flesh lead us. The flesh is the body. It's the sinful nature. Remember what we said? We've been saying the sinful nature is dead. We have been crucified with Christ. Okay? Our sinful flesh is crucified at the cross of Christ. Okay? So if you have a problem with the flesh and you find it really hard to live in joy and peace, it's your mind. Your mind is the problem. That's not to say that sometimes you might get, you know, all wrapped up in anxious thoughts and stuff and you're fearful, but that's your flesh. That's just an indication that you need to go to Jesus and find joy, love, joy, that's peace, good. Gentleness, kindness, self-control, all that stuff. Because if you let that continue, it's going to weigh you down and you won't be able to do anything because the spirit is not operating. Okay? That's the picture we want to get. Any questions? Here's why you need to do that. Romans 8:6. The mind of the flesh is death. Living on that side of the teeter-totter is death. Okay? It doesn't do anything. It just weighs you down. You can't move. With all the stuff in your soul and your spirit. That's why when you come to Christ, you have to let Him take control of your mind, will, emotions, everything. Okay? But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. So I ask you, which do you want to live in? The spirit of life and peace or the flesh of death? Okay. Ask yourself that. Do you want to know where you're living? Read Galatians 5 and see what the fruit's being produced. If you have all these things in verses 19 to 21, you're living by your flesh. If you have the other things in verses 22 to 25, you're living by the Spirit. Okay. So here's the question. Do we have the Spirit or not? If you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you don't belong to Christ. You're living by the flesh. Whether you believe it or not, if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, you don't belong to Jesus. It's simple. I didn't write that. God wrote that in His Word. Okay, verse 9, right there on the third slide. You put number 2, ye are not of the flesh but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you, dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. She is not His. Simple, right? Simple. Do you remember when you were born again by the Spirit of God and you were awakened and everything was new? You were aware that you're a sinful creature and you need to run to Jesus for forgiveness. And you said, God, forgive me for my sins. I blew my life. It's a mess. I want you. That's all I want. And I want you in my body. Cleanse me. Receive. I receive the sacrifice of your Son. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with your Spirit because I want to live for you. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? I remember that day as clear as a bell. Okay? You probably need to, if you don't have assurance that you are born again by the Spirit of God, you need to take time today to do that. To say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I repent of my sins and I want you to take over my life because I want life and peace. I don't want death. Okay? This is a huge difference. So if you have the Holy Spirit, the question is, does He have us? Okay? How do you know? By what side of the teeter-totter you're living on. Remember, just get this image in your mind. If you're living by the flesh, the Spirit's inactive, immobile. If you're living by the Spirit, your flesh is inactive. You can't really have the two living together. They're in opposition. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6, I believe, is just an opposition to each other. Darkness and light can't exist. One of them's going to give. Are we good with that? We live to please God. Those who are in the flesh are not able to please God. The reason a Christian lives and moves and has their being is to please God Almighty. Okay? We don't live for ourselves anymore, people. We live to please God. How do you do that? You die. You choose to die. We saw this in Romans 6. Reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ. You, according to Scripture, okay, if Christ is in you, number 3, the body indeed is dead because of sin. Now, this is a really tricky verse, but here's what it says. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. We are always in this body. This body is dying. It will die. It will be in a grave at some point unless Jesus comes back and raptures us out of here. But your destiny as a physical human being with a body is the grave. You will get there. Okay? Everybody's going to die. Because the sin curse is on us. The wages of sin is death. We will die. However, if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus out of the dead dwells in you, He who raised up Christ out of the dead shall quicken your dying bodies through His Spirit dwelling in. There's coming a day. If you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, friends, if the Spirit of God lives in you, He's the guarantee that you're going to glory. Okay? He's guaranteed. He's a deposit, the Bible says. Guaranteeing our inheritance. So if you live according to the Spirit, you're demonstrating that you're truly saved and born again, and your destiny is glory. The return of Christ in heaven. And that should be, that's one major indication whether you are truly born again or not, is that you desire to be in heaven with your Savior. Okay? And I would say the opposite. If anyone does not desire to see Jesus, they're not living for Jesus. They're probably not born again. Because I don't know about you, but this God who revealed Himself to me 27 years ago, to whom I put my faith in and broke me, and I just wept before Him because I ruined 35 years of my life. I just said, oh God, I want You and nothing else, because all this stuff I did is nothing. It's garbage compared to life in You. And so if you're living like that, if you're living for the hope of seeing Christ, praise God. That's a witness that you are truly born again by the Spirit of God. Sin produces death, the body will die, Holy Spirit produces life. We will live forever because of the Holy Spirit. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:8, I prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Friends, as I age, this body is not fun to live in. If you're in your 80s, you know even more. Okay? It's not fun to live in a dying, decaying body that's decomposing before our very eyes with all the stuff on planet Earth. You go on a trip hoping to get a vacation, you come back sick, you're laid up. This is a dying body. I want to get rid of it ASAP. Amen? I can't wait for my new body. How now shall we live? By killing our flesh and choosing Holy Spirit. Romans 8:12. So then, brothers, we are debtors. We owe it to God who set us free, who promised to give us new life in Christ and new bodies in the future, to live according to the flesh. Okay, not to live according to the flesh. We owe it to God to live according to the Spirit. If according to the flesh you live, you are about to die. You will die. Literally, every time you sow to your flesh, to your body, you do what your body does and not what the Spirit does, you are killing yourself. You're killing your soul. Okay? By the Spirit. Notice it's by the Spirit. It's not you doing it. It's by submitting to the Holy Spirit. The deeds of the body you put to death, you will live. Okay? What's he saying? The more I choose Jesus over me, the more I'm proving I just want eternal life. I just want to live. I just want to live for Jesus. It's not about me. Just as John the Baptist said, I must decrease, He must increase. I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for Him. Why? Because I can't wait to see Him. He's the one who makes me live and breathe and have my being. I live for Jesus. That's a good sign, friends. If you can say that, that's a good sign. You're born again. You're on your way to heaven. Okay? We get wrapped up in all kinds of things. All kinds of things. It doesn't produce life. It produces death. Many people are chasing. You know, they keep their eyes on the world and they get all discouraged and frustrated by the things in the world. You know what? I don't know about you, but I want to set my mind on things that are above. I want to look forward to what's waiting for me. Not what's here on planet Earth. I'm leaving this place. Okay? So here it is, very simply. Life by the flesh is death. Life by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit is life. It's that simple. Okay? Death to the flesh equals life. Life by flesh equals death. It's a very simple equation. So, ask yourself, am I killing the flesh? Am I living for this body? Am I living to put, you know, really nice clothes and really nice car and really nice home and really nice this, and I'm just living for me? That's a good sign. You need a little of adjustment there, okay? Doesn't mean we can't have good things. It just means, where's your focus? We don't want to set up idols in our life. Like, you can live to chase things. Okay, I want to chase Jesus, because I'm going to spend eternity with him. I only got a few years here on planet Earth, you know, since I got saved. Maybe I'll see 80, I don't know, but let's say 40, 50 years with Jesus, since the time I got saved, or with Jesus on planet Earth, but thousands and thousands and millions of years with him. Where am I going to sow? I'm going to put my treasure in heaven, not on earth, okay, because that's where I'm headed. Let me read to you Colossians 3. This is very powerful. What is it saying here? Put to death, put to death, put to death. If then you were raised with Christ, that's what the Bible says, you're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, okay, Ephesians 2. Colossians 3, 1. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Okay, if you were raised with Christ, you should be looking up. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here's the question. Is Christ your life? Or am I my life? If Christ is my life, I will put to death the members which are on earth. All the stuff that's feeding me, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. This is Colossians 3, which is idolatry. Okay? Idolatry is putting me before God. I live for me. Not him. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked. There's proof. I don't understand what's going on in the church, that people can live for themselves and think they're Christians. This is an oxymoron, friends. It's not even possible. If you live for the world, you prove you don't belong to Jesus. It's what the scripture says. If you're a true child of God, filled with the Spirit of God, born again by the Spirit of God, you put to death the things of the earth. Your pursuit is Christ. I want to know him. I want to be like him, Paul says. You yourselves are put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie. I mean, it's just so simple. You're putting on Christ. You're clothing yourself with Christ, or you're putting on the world. Okay? It's that simple. When you get up in the morning, what's your thought? Is it, Jesus, this could be the day. This could be the day I see you. You might return today, and I'll be with you forever. So it really doesn't matter what happens in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Like, think about it. This is just a blip in history. Eternity, that's forever. Eternal life. Jesus says this. Like, we're to put to death this flesh. This flesh. I don't live to satisfy this flesh. I have to steward it wisely so the enemy doesn't get a foothold in my life, right? I got to eat properly and exercise and stuff. But it's not an idol. I can't make this body an idol. And when you turn 50, you can't make this an idol anyway. Trust me. You just want to keep it healthy so you don't go out before your time. Here's what he said. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. What is that? Jesus said, kill the body. Deal with the body. That's what's causing you to sin. Okay? If you're stuck in pornography and you can't know all the things you put in place, okay? No matter all the safeguards, and you have your parents on there with you know, whatever you go to, they have the same thing. They get a note right away saying, oh, you're on this site. Listen, if you can't stop it, throw your computer out, pull the plug, rip your eye out if you have to. Take drastic measures. That's what Jesus is saying. Whatever you got to do to kill this flesh, do it. He says this. It's more profitable for you that one of your members should perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand caused you to sin, okay, if you're a kleptomaniac and you can't stop sinning, you can't, every time you go to a store, you steal, cut your hand off. That's what they do in other countries. That person's not going to steal anymore. Okay? It's a pretty good reminder not to steal. So it's more profitable for you that you, one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell.
We don't advocate for mutilation.
We don't advocate. However, you get the picture. I didn't say this. This is God.
Yeah.
Jesus said this, okay?
Yeah.
Do drastic measures to make sure you don't sow to your flesh, sow to the spirit, okay? All right. This is pretty basic stuff. There's all kinds of scriptures there. Notice it says we should live as those who, Galatians 5:24, really cool verse, which I just got to find. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay? We're dead. We're dead. Reckon yourselves dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay? You need to keep telling yourself, no, Mike, I don't want that. I'm dead. I just, if I want to satisfy this body, I'm dead. I just want Jesus. Slide 6, number 5. How shall we live? Here it is, as children of God, led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 14 and 16. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Friends, this is a huge, unbelievable teaching. Okay? And, you know, we sing songs like this, I am a child of God. Do we really understand what we're singing when we say that? Okay? Yeah. What is the evidence that you are a child of God? It doesn't get much more clear. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. The Spirit of God is God. It's Christ in you. We looked at all these verses last time, remember? Christ in you, the Spirit in you, God in you. It's God living inside of you. And he leads you. Okay? He's leading you. Now, it's a real simple test. Am I being led by the Spirit of God, or am I leading the Spirit of God? Am I telling the Spirit where to go, or is he telling me where to go and what to do and what to say? Okay? And the Greek tense there literally means he's continually, the person, the child of God, is being continually led by the Spirit of God. It's a continual process, not just a one-time, well, today I really need to, you know, break through in my life, so I'm going to let the Spirit of God lead. No, that's not Christianity. That's health and wealth and prosperity. Okay, just going to God for some handout. No, it's a daily, continuous surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's how you know you're a child of God. This is a litmus test for you. We looked at many litmus tests this morning, right? Do you have the Spirit of God? Are you dying to sin? Is your life changing? Is your focus different? Here it is. As many, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Did I receive Christ? Not just believe him, did I receive him into my life? Okay? Whoever receives him, it's not just simple faith. I believe who he is, I believe what he's done, and I'm choosing to allow him into my life to take over my life. That's what receive means, okay? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become child of God. 1 John 3:1. Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God? Have you received God's love, Romans 5:5? Have you received his love poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit? Do you know your love? Do you know that he loves you, and now your love, your affection is different? It's not for you anymore, it's for him. Okay? That's how you know you've received the love of God. Watch what it says in the next section, 1 John 3:1. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Jesus was so radically different, they didn't know what to do with him. All they could think of was, let's get rid of this guy. Friends, if Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, is leading your life, you will be so radically different from the world that they'll say, you're a freak. I don't want to hang around with you. You turn me off. Okay? Praise God. That's what I want to hear. Nobody wants to hang around with me because I don't do what the world does. Good. I just do what Jesus wants me to do. All right? There's so many more scriptures. Literally, Jesus came down to bring many sons to glory, it says in Hebrews. Okay. He died to bring many sons to glory. His mission was to bring children to the Father and to have brothers and sisters. My brethren, he calls them. Hey, this is a huge topic, some fascinating truths. What does it mean to be led? What does it mean to be a child? What did Jesus say? He called the little children to him. He set them around him, and he said, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about a child. He can't even go to the bathroom on his own. He needs to be led to the bathroom. He needs to be fed. He is, or she is, totally dependent on the parent for everything. And Jesus says, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need to be totally dependent on the Savior, on God. You need to let him do it all. You need to surrender your life to him. No longer you in charge. He's in charge. Live for him. Okay? Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. That's what he's looking for. To be led means you need to submit and let someone else lead. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Okay? Yeah. Very simple. Is your life characterized by every day I get up and say, Jesus, you lead me. I don't want to lead myself. I don't want to sow to the body. I don't want to do anything that isn't in your will. I've only come to do your will. Okay? That's a good sign. You're a child of God. It gets even better. Listen to Romans 8:15. I think Wendy dwelt on this last time a little bit. You did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive a spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. This is an amazing term, okay, as Wendy pointed out. But literally, if you're a child, you need a father to lead you. Okay? You need a father to lead you. A loving father who has your good in his heart. If God is good and God is love and God is perfect, he wants you to be like him. Okay? That's how you'll experience real life, by following him, by letting him lead you. But friends, before that, you need to enter into that relationship with the Father. Okay? It doesn't matter what your earthly father was like.
That's right.
God is not like that.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Yeah. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that I should be called his child? How great. His love is so immense. It's so incredible. It's not like any earthly love. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but sitting in the presence of your Abba Father, literally Abba meant the term of endearment, like Papa or Daddy, okay? And Jesus called him that. Jesus called Father Abba, Papa, Daddy. And he taught, there's lots of evidence to prove that he taught his disciples to pray, you know the Lord's Prayer, Father, Abba, Papa. Okay? Jesus is demonstrating intimacy with the Father, and he wants us to join as his brothers into the intimacy with the Father.
Yeah.
And to share that love, okay? This love that has been poured in our hearts so that we can love him. So we cherish God's love. Romans 8:39, we'll see in a few weeks. That love is so incredible, it's so perfect and fulfilling that nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of the Father. That's what it says, okay? That's how great that love is. Once you really get a hold of that love of God, you won't want anything else.
Right.
Not even the love of a spouse can meet the love of a father, okay? Of God. So one of the signs of a child of God is they desire intimacy with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good litmus test. If I want to pursue Christ, if that's my goal, do I want to pursue the Father also? Okay? Do I have that love? Do I have that intimacy? You know, every morning, I'm not boasting, I'm just saying, I cannot live without the presence of God in my life. Every morning, I start my morning by being in his presence. Because I need to start my day connected to him, not connected to news or anything else. Just connected to him. It's so beautiful. I can't even tell all the experiences of sitting in his presence, just having him lavish me with love when I'm discouraged or frustrated or struggling. It's just, Mike, Mike, I love you. I love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Like, you just, this is why the word's so important, because you'll just hear the Holy Spirit whisper the words of the Father to you. Mm-hmm. And he said, thank you. Thank you, Dad. I need to know you're there with me, okay? Friends, I can't describe it. You just need to experience it. Maybe you haven't had that. Maybe your father was not good and he messed you up. But God is not like that. He's waiting. He literally waits. Sometimes I get busy and I something comes up and I don't go to God first in the morning. It's like he's calling me, right? It's like, I was waiting here for you. Why aren't you here? Do we desire to please God and obey him? All kinds of scriptures I could bring you to. But here's a big one that we never talk about. If I'm really in relationship with the Father, do I welcome his discipline?
Yeah.
Okay? His correction. Because he knows best. And he wants more than anything to get me to heaven with him. And he knows what I need to do to get there. And he knows what he needs to bring into my life to correct me so that I do get there. He completes every work he started. Okay? He started a work in me. He started a work in you. And he's going to get you to the end. Friends, as we sang, whether it's trials and tribulations, suffering, persecution, it doesn't matter. He's using that to make you like him. To make you like his son. Romans 8:29. We are being conformed to the image of his son. Okay? His son, he loves his son. And he loves us. And we're the brothers of Christ and sisters of Christ. And so he's making us into his image so that we can spend eternity with him. And we need to welcome that discipline and transformation. Okay. Yeah. Last point. We welcome and persevere through suffering, which leads to glorification. Here's a verse. Wendy touched on it, but there's a gospel out there that says Christians shouldn't suffer. They should never experience bad. They should experience blessing all the time. Friends, as Wendy said, that is a lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
Okay. I cannot say it enough. And if you want proof of how bad it could be and how great is the blessing for going through suffering, you should read 2 Corinthians 11, Paul's tribulations. He was beaten. It says he received 39 lashes 5 times.
Wow.
Okay? Now, we can't even grasp this, okay? He was beaten with rod 3 times. His back must have been a mess.
Yeah.
Okay? For the glory of Christ and praise to the Father. We have no idea what suffering is like. Okay? But I believe everything that we go through is to make us more like Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't care if it's a relational thing, a broken fingernail, a flat tire, it doesn't matter. Every little trial and tribulation that you go through is to change your character to look more like Jesus.
That's right.
Okay, everything.
I'm into that.
And often it'll be the closest people to you he'll use to bring trial and suffering. And you know what you do? You can't change people. You just got to fall on your face and say, God, I need help. I need help dealing with this person and that person and all these people in my life. I can't afford a new car. God, you're going to have to do this. I just surrender it to you. And you just learn to walk with the Father and trust the Father. Okay? All this suffering, all this trial is changing me on the inside. Everything. Sickness. In this church, I say this all the time. We pray for sickness. God said, have the elders of the church come and lay hands on you and anoint you with oil, and the sick person will be made well. But there's a journey in the sickness that you discover, well, I'm not the same after the sickness as I was before the sickness. Something fell off of me. Something changed me. That process of dying and realizing that I'm mortal humbled me to the point where I need to trust God all the time. Right? There's a transformation that happens. If we're not being transformed by the Spirit's work, we're not of God. Okay? Do we love the Father? Do we persevere through suffering?
Mm-hmm.
And watch what it says. I'm going to read you the verse very clearly. By the way, there's 8 ifs here. I could preach a whole sermon on the ifs of chapter 8. If children, this is what kind of launched me this. If children, if you're really a child of God, all these things you need to experience. Also, heirs. We're going to talk about that next week when we gather. about resurrection life and being heir in Christ, indeed of God, and heirs together of Christ, if indeed we what? We suffer together. If we suffer together, we prove that we belong to Jesus and we're going to receive glorification. If a person, a Christian, is not willing to go through, I use that term loosely, if a Christian is not willing to go through suffering, if they pack it in as soon as the hard times comes, I mean, you just realize they weren't of Christ in the first place. Because a person who really loves Jesus and is anchored and rooted in Christ and his love perseveres until the end.
Amen.
Okay? There's no quitting. Jesus said that in Matthew 24. They persevere to the end. It'll get so tough that even the elect, if possible, might want to quit. But the elect never quit. They're chosen of God. They're filled with God. They keep going right to the end. That's a true follower of Jesus. Okay? I've got all these scriptures here. Romans 8:29. Nothing can separate us. I'll just read you these real quick. Okay? Just in case you think, well, come on, Mike. Suffering for Christ? You need to read a few missionary stories. Acts 14:22. They went around from town to town, church to church, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. How do you get into the kingdom of God? To glory? Through suffering, through trials. To you, Paul says in Philippians 1, he even said in chapter 3 of Philippians, I want to share in the sufferings of Christ. To you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 4. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The more we suffer, the more Christ is revealed in us. Okay? And that's the goal. To make Christ known through our trials and tribulations. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. It's so clear. Death is working in us, but life in you. Okay? This dying process, this body dying, me dying, reveals more of Jesus. And that's the goal of the whole Christian life. That I should decrease and he should increase. And why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep surrendering my life? And you know, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross. He said, lose your life. All these things he commanded his disciples. If you really want to follow me, it's not about you, right? It's about me. So I think that's the clearest evidence that you belong to Jesus. You want to be with him, you want to make him known, you want to manifest his presence on earth, and you want to be with him in the end. Is that your desire of your heart? Is that the desire of your heart? Only you can answer that. I want to finish with reading this again. Titus 2. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to everyone, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Okay? Very simple. Am I living for me? In ungodliness, to satisfy my own lusts? Am I getting drunk? Am I feeding stuff to my body that I shouldn't? Am I living godly in this present age? Am I looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of my God, our God, great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works? Jesus gave himself for us. He laid down his life. He showed us. He went to the cross. He died so he could bring many sons to glory. He resurrected to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Friends, the cross, him laying down his life that we might have life, he who dies will find life. Right? This is the call. This is called the Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled means I'm more of the Holy Spirit, less of me. Jesus died so that we could live that life, so that we could experience true life. He who has the Son has life. His whole desire was to live inside of you, to make you holy, to get you ready for heaven. That's what the cross is all about. And that's what we're going to celebrate right now. Okay? The death of Christ. To redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. We are being purified. We are being purified by turning away from unlawlessness, from selfishness. And we are turning to him so that he can fill us with works that we want to do with him, for him. We don't get to heaven by works, okay? But the works are evidence that we're being transformed and we're on our way to heaven. I hope you're looking forward to that day, because that's why I live. That's why I know many people in this room here. They keep talking about it. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Just don't worry about this world, friends. Paul says, I'm dead to the world, and I'm alive to Christ. And I'm dying daily to this world, every day. The more I watch what's going on, the less I want to be here, and the more I want to be with him. I hope that's your call, too. Let's just pray, and then we'll dispense the elements. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for sending Jesus to take away every lawless deed from us. To purify us, to redeem us from the curse, to give us new life. Thank you, Jesus, for willingly offering your life for ours. Thank you that we are crucified with you if we've accepted your finished work of the cross, and we are covered by your blood and made new by your Spirit. I pray that for everyone, even as we sit in silence, just remembering that great sacrifice as we approach Easter. And Lord, we can say, yeah, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, King, King. And we can shout like on Palm Sunday, which is today, and say, yes, Jesus, Hosanna to the King. And then just a few days later say, kill him, crucify him. God, check our hearts. Are we really in the kingdom? Are we really yours? By the cross, we surrender, Lord. We surrender to your leading. We surrender to Holy Spirit, to his purifying work. And we stay close to the cross, where we die daily. We remember, Lord, what it cost to bring us to heaven. Thank you for your sacrifice. Let's take the bread and cup. Let's all wait together till we get it, and then we'll eat together.